Hi, this is Deb Perlman of the Smitten Kitchen, and you're listening to Food Fridays on the Leonard Lopate Show on WNYC 93.9 FM, AM 820, and WNYC.org.
We've been pickling during this first month of Food Fridays, first with a primer on the basics of pickling a few weeks ago, and today we are looking at some more unusual pickles from things like scapes and limes. Joining me now is Marissa McClellan, who writes the blog Food in Jars. Her book of the same name is published by Running Press, and her next book, Preserving by the Pint, will be published in the spring of 2014. I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show today. Hello.
Hi there.
We've been asking our listeners to try their hands at pickling by using refrigerated pickling recipes that are ready pretty quickly. A few days, in fact, something like 10 days. Do you use those, or do you focus on preserving pickles for a long shelf life?
I do plenty of refrigerator pickles, but I also do the preserved ones as well. I live in Philadelphia, but in a small apartment, and I have a tiny kitchen, so I don't always have a ton of refrigerator space for lots of refrigerator pickles, quick pickles, but sometimes they're what gives you the best quality, so I make them when I know that that's what I want.
There are a few basic ingredients for pickling brine, salt and vinegar. Are certain kinds of salt and vinegar better than others?
Well, it depends on whether you're making a preserved pickle or a shelf-stable pickle. When you're making a refrigerator pickle, you can really, the world of vinegars is open to you. When you're making a pickle that you're canning for shelf stability, you have to make sure that you're using a vinegar that is 5% acidity, because that's the industry standard for what recipes are developed for. And when you
but does it matter whether it's wine or vinegar or something else?
No, but not everything is 5%. So when it comes to those preserved pickles, you can certainly use red wine, white wine, apple cider, white distilled. All of those are just fine.
And the salt, just iodized salt, or should it be kosher salt? Should it be sea salt?
Well, there is such a thing as pickling salt, which is a salt that is designed to dissolve really fast and doesn't have any additives, so it won't discolor your pickles. Iodized salt can discolor pickles over time, so it's not always the very best salt to use, but in a pinch, you can certainly use it. I tend personally to use a finely grained sea salt because I feel like I get a little bit more flavor from it, and that's what I keep in my kitchen for cooking.
And about those vinegars, you're right that we shouldn't use homemade or artisanal vinegars for pickles if we want them to have some kind of stability?
It's true. It's true because you don't know their acid content. You don't know if they're highly acidic or sort of lower on the acid scale. And so you always want to make sure you're using a vinegar that is tested and is a commercial one so that you know that your pickles are going to be safe.
Now, your recipes are for small batches. Is that because, as you said, you work in a small kitchen? Or do you think that, or are there other reasons? Should we just pickle what we need?
Well, I like the small batches in part because of my small kitchen, but also I feel like it gives me the opportunity to have a lot of depth in my pantry. So instead of just having a dozen jars of cucumber pickles, I have a couple jars of pickled cauliflower and a few jars of pickled okra. And so it allows me to have a lot of variety. And that's one of the things I like about those small batches so much.
Are there certain jars that work better than others for pickling? Must we use mason jars?
If you're making a preserved pickle, you do want to use a mason jar or a jar that's designed for canning. There's some European jars. There's a company called Weck that makes really beautiful jars, and those can be used for those shelf-stable pickles too. But if you're making refrigerator pickles, any container is fine, you know, plastic container, an old yogurt container, whatever you have.
As long as it has been sterilized to a point, can you just put it in the dishwasher?
Yeah, you know, when you're making refrigerator pickles, you just want it to be really clean. It doesn't have to be perfectly sterile.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, because you're going to put it in the
refrigerator. You know about the way I wash dishes. Okay. You pickle scapes, asparagus, zucchini, jalapeno peppers, Brussels sprouts. Does pickling change the texture of vegetables?
It doesn't. It does sometimes. It depends on the heat. If you make a refrigerator pickle, typically you get the same texture from the vegetable that it went into the jar. It'll soften a little bit. But when you preserve pickles in a canning pot where you're heat processing them, the texture does change because obviously you're applying heat, and so it cooks them a little bit. So a lot of people complain about cucumber pickles that they've made that are preserved for shelf stability because they get a little soggy because they're going through a hot water bath process. So in those cases, I often recommend that people start with sturdier vegetables if they want to make a preserved pickle, because then they're going to get more of that texture and crunch.
Do each of these get pickled using the same basic seasonings?
You know, there is sort of a classic pickling spice that's out there.
But jalapenos are quite different from Brussels sprouts.
Absolutely. The spice is really up to the pickler, and that's one of the joys of making your own pickles, is that you get to decide whether, you know, you really want a super spicy, like fiery pickle, or you want a more classic sort of clove and, you know, mustard seed kind of pickle. And so that's part of why I love making pickles so much, is that I get to really choose what the flavor profiles are.
And you have a recipe for a mixed pickling spice in your book. I was surprised to see cinnamon stick included in there. Is cinnamon a typical pickling ingredient?
Yeah, it is. In those classic pickling spice like mixes that you can buy at different spice shops, it is always included, a little crushed cinnamon stick.
I noticed that you wait a lot longer to eat your pickled dilly beans than your pickled asparagus. Can you pickle asparagus for a longer period of time?
Oh, absolutely. Those times that I recommend are simply amounts of time that you should let the pickles rest before you dive into them, but you can always let them go longer.
They don't get mushy if they're asparagus, rather soft?
No, because once it's sort of in the jar and shelf-stable and the canning process has been done, the texture doesn't really change much.
Now, in the past, people pickled partly to extend the growing season so that they could eat vegetables that were no longer in season. They're not doing that as much nowadays, are they? Are they? Is this because we've kind of lost the connection with the farm?
Well, I think that it's coming back. I think over the last, you know, couple of decades, it was certainly something that was dying off. But people are so much more interested in gardening these days than they had been. There's definitely a rise in gardening. And so I feel like people are pickling to extend the season more now again than they used to be in the last couple of decades.
We posted your recipe for pickled okra. Huh? Does pickled okra have the sliminess that steamed okra can have?
It doesn't. Something kind of magical happens when you pickle okra. I feel like the vinegar kind of arrests those enzymes in the okra that makes it really slimy and mucilaginous. And instead you get something that is, what's so cool when you pickle okra is that the brine goes into the okra pot. So you get this, when you bite in, they kind of burst with pickling liquid. And so you get this really nice, fun texture that comes, and they're not at all slimy.
You have a recipe for gingery pickled beets in the book, which is strikes me as an unusual flavor combination. Where did that idea come from?
Well, that's actually, I was inspired to do that recipe thanks to another recently published cookbook author, and he has a food blog called Saving the Season, Kevin West, and he had written a recipe for golden beets with ginger, and I made it once and I really loved it and wanted to make that flavor profile somehow unique to me as well, and so I changed it up. But it's delicious. There's something about that kind of fiery beet flavor, or the fiery ginger flavor, that goes so perfectly with the beets.
Now, pickles can be eaten by themselves, but many people put pickles on their sandwiches or their burgers. Are there certain foods that pair better with pickles than others?
Well, I'm a big fan of pickles with chicken soup. You know, because chicken soup, it's a wonderful, comforting meal, but you don't get a lot of sort of zinginess to it. And so when you add a side of dilly beans or something, or pickled okra, to a bowl of chicken soup and eat them along with it, you get a lot more sort of flavor interest. So all winter long when I make chicken soup or vegetable soup or something like that, I'll eat my bowl with a side of pickles. I think they're also great in things like grain salads, you know, chop up maybe those pickled beets and toss them with steamed barley and a bunch of like crunchy things and some toasted nuts, and you have a really nice salad.
On your blog, Food in Jars, you posted a recipe for salt-preserved key limes earlier this year. Is that a fancy way of saying pickled limes?
Essentially, it's a fermented pickle. So you cut open the limes and you pack them with salt and some flavoring. If you want some, you can put some herbs or spices in there, and let them just sit for a while, and they get really tangy, and they're hard to describe because it's kind of almost a funky flavor, but really good, sour, funky.
And where will you put that? Where would you use them? Put them in drinks?
You can put them in drinks. A lot of people tend to preserve lemons, and you can use the preserved key limes in the same way you would use the preserved lemons, chop up the rind and add it to braises or stews, things like that. Sometimes I puree the limes and then stir it into mayonnaise for sort of a zippy, funky, smooth dressing.
Do fruits pickle as well as vegetables?
Absolutely. I used to write a pickling column for a website called Serious Eats, and I was on this campaign for a while to bring back pickled fruit because I feel like it's one of those really classic American foods that we've lost. I love pickled peaches. I pickle pears all fall and winter. And what's so great about it is that you know, you can take just a basic salad and crumble a little goat cheese on top and add a few slices of pickled pears or peaches, and you have this really great, satisfying, interesting salad. And, you know, as someone who likes generally to put fruit in her salad, it's sort of like you get half of the dressing is already made for you when you have pickled your fruit and add it to a big green salad.
Let's take a call from Max from New Jersey. Hi, Max. You're on the air.
Yo, Lenny, good show. I just want to say I grew up in Eastern Europe, and, you know, my parents would pickle everything. And the one thing I never understood why I never caught in America is pickled tomatoes.
But tomatoes are popular, pickled. In fact, if you go to any kosher pickler, you're going to find usually green tomatoes, Marisa.
Yeah.
Why green tomatoes rather than the ones that have ripened?
Well, the green tomatoes get pickled because they're a little firmer, and the ones that you find in delis, they're typically a fermented green tomato pickle. But there is also this tradition of pickling red tomatoes, which is, I think, what the caller was probably referring to. And it's a whole different kind of pickle than you get with those sort of really tart, crunchy green tomatoes. A pickled red tomato is amazing.
Max, is that what you were calling about?
Yep.
Yeah, so good. They're kind of soft and tender and zippy and a little bit sweet. It's really a delicious pickle.
Thank you for calling us, Max. Is there anything you want to add?
Pickled garlic, too.
Yeah, definitely. Good stuff.
And pickled onions?
Yes.
Are there any foods that don't pickle well?
Well, some of the sort of all those hearty greens that are so popular these days, like kale, and Swiss chard, you can pickle them, but they're the things I pickle the least often. Just, and maybe it's my technique. Maybe I haven't found the perfect way to pickle them, but I find that they are not my favorite pickle. Whereas if I'm going to pickle something, you know, if I want some sort of brassica or cruciferous vegetable, I'm going to go with the cauliflower or cabbage or something like that as opposed to the kale or the Swiss chard.
We have posted Marisa McClellan's recipes for pickled okra and classic dill pickles on our show page, along with her instructions for processing. And you can find those and the other recipes that are part of our pickling project by going to wnyc.org/foodfridays. And since you've got your pickles, we would love to see a picture of the finished product. Post a photo to Instagram and tag it Lopate Pickles. You can also see some of the photos we've already received from other listeners. Marisa McClellan's book, Food in Jars, Preserving in Small Batches Year-Round, is published by Running Press. And I want to thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
Up next on Please Explain, Ron Nixon of the New York Times walks us through the Farm Bill. We'll find out what programs are funded by the omnibus spending bill and why the latest version of the bill has remained stalled in Congress for over a year. If you have a question, you can give us a call at 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page or find us on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is @LeonardLopate. You're listening to WNYC and WNYC.org.